tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabe. Anabe is the only machine washable sofa inside and out where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
That is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Thank you for coming back. It was nice to have you join us here for our second night, Sunday night. We've got a lot of great stuff. We're going to be delving into the world of psychic phenomena in hour two and three from 10 o'clock to midnight with our guest Linda McKenzie. Hope that you'll stick around with us for that. Got a lot of cool stuff going on here in the first hour. We've got a book review coming up by Susan Cummins in a few moments. We've got Bill Murphy is going to be coming on, sharing a little bit of great news with us and also a little bit of bad news. So stay tuned for that. And then another brand new deal that we're going to introduce to you right after Bill's segment. So I hope that you will stay tuned. Hey, got a couple of cool, exciting things, Tim.
What's that?
What are you doing next Wednesday, the 17th?
Well, generally, I like to do my hair and talk about boys to my girlfriends, but I'll make room for whatever you got.
I think that we should take our listeners out on a date next Wednesday, the 17th. What do you think?
All of them?
That's right. All of them. All 12. We've got 25 tickets. We've actually got a really cool thing coming up. There's an
Wait,
advance.
That means that 12 of our friends have to find dates.
Yes, that's true.
That ain't happening. Right.
We are, Tim, myself, and Nicole are going to be out at the advance screening of the new movie Ghost Town. That opens up on 7:30 p.m. at the AMC Maple Grove on Wednesday, September 17th. And we have 25 passes to give away. That's good for you and a friend to come along and see the movie with us. Come on out, meet with us, see a brand new great movie. It stars Ricky Gervais from the British version of The Office. Very funny comedian. And Greg Kinnear is going to also be in the movie. Looks like it's going to be a blast. I hope that you'll join us. Just give a call in, talk to Tim, give him your name. And then you can come out there. We'll have you on the will call list so that you can join us for the actual screening, pre-screening of the movie 2 days before it actually opens in theaters. Again, you can give us a call. Come on out and have a date with Tim and I. Now, Tim.
I feel sorry for the people who want to date with me. But
yes,
okay.
we've got other exciting news.
What's that?
Our Halloween party, our very first annual Darkness Radio Halloween party is coming up. Guess when?
On Christmas?
Halloween, Tim.
Oh,
work with me here.
All right.
And we're going to be out at the Palmer House Haunted Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota. We've got information up on our website right now. Go to darknessradio.com. Click on the events page. We have got a lot of fun. $50 for the night. We'll get you drink coupons, get you free hors d'oeuvres, and you get a chance to party with us. There'll be some costume contests that'll go on and just get a chance to meet this. And check this out, Tim. We're bringing in the whole Darkness Radio cast. We have
all three of us.
That's right. No, you and I will be out there.
Okay.
Nicole Remini, our movie critic, will be there.
Oh.
Susan Cummins, our book critic, will be out there.
Oh.
We have national news correspondent, brand new national news correspondent, Bree Sanders is going to join us.
Oh, there you go.
And all the way from beautiful, balmy London, England, Adrian Lee is coming back into town, and he's going to be there, so we'll have the entire cast and crew.
You had
of
me
Darkness
until the
Radio.
Brit. Yeah.
Oh, you love the Brit.
No, I do,
So he's going to be out there. We're all going to be out there. You can come out, have a party with us for the night, and then there'll be a ghost hunt for the first group that buy up the rooms at the hotel. Everybody that's got a room at that hotel that night will get to ghost hunt from 1:30 till 4 o'clock in the morning with Tim, myself, and the rest of our cast and crew as we go through the haunted Palmer House. We've got some cool stuff too. And Tim, I'll get you an EVP for next week. We can play from the Palmer House that we got when we were out there a year ago.
Because you won't get one with me there. So there you go. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, whatever. So come on out for that. Check out our website at darknessevents.com. Another cool thing that's going on, we do have two events, Rolling Hills with the Ghost Adventures crew that's coming up in November 13th through the 16th. And then we have an event in May of 2009 at the very haunted Waverly Hills Sanitarium that takes place in May of 2009. All that information is up on our site at darknessevents.com. Now we're going to start off the evening right as we often do on Sundays with our lovely guest, the lovely and incomparable Miss Susan Cummins. Good evening, Susan.
Woohoo! Hello!
Hey, thanks a lot for joining us here tonight. So we got you got a whole new book for us. We're staying away from the fiction side right now. We're going to go into a really great book about ITC and talking to the other side, the new technology, spiritual contact. And this book is called Miracles in the Storm, written by Mark Macy, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, well, give us a little background. What is this book? Well, first of all, did you like the book? Was it a good book? Was it hard to get through? What did you find?
You know, I think for a lot of people, it's going to be hard for them to sort of wrap their arms around this book. I found it fascinating. I found it intriguing. But it delves into some things that I think a lot of people may not get. It talks about multidimensional universes and talking to spirit colleagues on the other side by the name of Time Spring. So for some people, they just may think it's just out there.
Okay.
I found it fascinating myself. It's about Mark Macy, as you know, and his journey through a diagnosis of cancer, meeting a gentleman by the name of George Meeks, who was an amazing industrialist that spent 20 years with his wife traveling out around the world and looking for those mysteries of life, those, you know, questionable, dark, but sometimes exciting layers of what we know as the spirit world. So with this, he discovered ITC. When George Meeks starts to talk about...
Now, what is ITC? Explain that to our listeners.
Yeah. Let me start. I apologize. It's instrumental transcommunication. And basically, if you remember, you know, in Poltergeist, where it's got the little girl, she's got her hands up on the television saying,
right,
they're here. It's communicating with the spirit world using televisions, computers, phones, and radios.
Really?
Yeah.
And this is something that anybody can do. Does he kind of diagram that in this book on how you can use your equipment for ITC?
No, you know, not really in this book. I know he has another book that talks about that, but in this book it's mostly about his journey and meeting the people that became instrumental in his ITC research and what that involves. You know, it talks about people getting messages on their computers from the other side, messages from loved ones, calls from the other side. His first encounter.
You know, that's interesting. My aunt got phone calls after my grandmother passed away from my grandmother, so that's really been an interest for me, too.
You know, it's fascinating. But again, you know, he's dealing with the astral plane and talking about these seven spirits that are made up of time stream. So it, you know, I loved it. I think some people may not be able to wrap their arms around it. It's one of those fascinating subjects that a lot of people in the paranormal are interested in.
Okay.
But again, not everybody's going to be able to get it.
And the name of the book, again, is Miracles in the Storm, Talking to the Other Side with New Technology Spiritual Contact.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a mouthful. And it's written by Mark H. Macy, M-A-C-Y. So tell me, Susan, out of 5 stars, how many are you going to give this?
You know, from sheer content, it gets to be a little over the head, I think, of a lot of readers. I'm going to look at about 3.5 stars for this.
About 3.5 stars?
Or 3.5 ghosts.
Okay, 3.5. Good deal. Well, thanks a lot, Susan. We appreciate it, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week with a whole new book.
And I can't wait for Halloween.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to look forward to have you out here, all of you guys, Nicole, you, Tim, myself, we've got Bree and Adrian, so it'll be a lot of fun. We'll see you at the Palmer House in Halloween.
I'm excited about it. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you. Take care. All right. We've got up next, Timothy, our national news correspondent, Billy Murphy.
Charlie Murphy.
Billy, you're on the line with us?
I am on the line. Hi, folks. Hi, Dave.
Hey, buddy. So now we've got some, I already kind of preluded to this, you've got some exciting news and a little disappointing news for Darkness fans as well. Let's talk about the exciting news. Something huge is going on for you, and what's going on?
Well, yes, you're right. There are two announcements. Number one is that I am involved with the production for broadcast TV that is about the paranormal. The network has not done their press release or started their ad campaign just yet. I will say that it will debut on Halloween. And with that, I have to allow for the press releases to go out, and then I can talk all about it.
Great.
But for right now, it is taking more and more of my time, so that leads to announcement number two.
All right. Go ahead and hit us, Billy.
Okay. Well, announcement number two is I am going to be transitioning the reporting I do for Darkness Radio, but my focus is going to be on the technology and the devices that we use in our paranormal investigations and our research. So with that being said, Dave, I believe you have an announcement to make as well.
Right. So Bill is going to be joining us a couple times a month with what we're going to call Tech Talk, and it will be Bill coming on and talking to us about new paranormal investigative technology that he finds in the marketplace, telling us a little bit about the different styles of technology, how he thinks it works. We'll even have him rate it. So this is going to be a great opportunity. Bill really has his thumb on the pulse of the technological studies side of this. It seems every time I talk to him, he's talking to somebody new with something exciting on the horizon, be it Frank Sumption or Bill Chappell or, you know, just a plethora of fantastic inventors out there. So you're going to keep us abreast of that situation going forward about 1 to 2 times a month, every other week, if we can get you in?
That's right.
Okay.
One or two times a month. And
well, good. So we're not losing you altogether, Billy. We're still keeping you in the fold, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm never leaving Darkness Radio. You guys are fantastic.
You're the best, buddy, and I appreciate that. So now you have some exciting news, too, to offer up to our listeners for people that are having paranormal experiences, right, for the show. Even though you can't give too much information about it, you are looking for evidence, right? Video, audio, photographic evidence?
I am. Dave, thank you for mentioning that. I am looking for... Well, preferred is going to be video evidence, since this is for broadcast TV.
Right.
But EVPs and photos are certainly welcome, and we're looking for your stories. You're being the person who's having the experience. So if you've had an experience at a location or if a client of yours has a story that is relevant and it's been backed up by evidence that you have captured, please contact me. I can be contacted through the Darkness Radio website. And I'll give you more information as we go along. But, yes, keep those cameras rolling and those DVRs churning away because we want to show what you have.
Right. And you can go, again, to darknessradio.com, click on the news desk, and scroll down. The third one down is our Tech Talk person. You can tell Billy there about your personal experiences if you have some evidence to back it up. He also will be taking information if you've created a new form of ITC communication skills or, you know, communication equipment or any other kind of ghost hunting or paranormal equipment that you'd like him to take a look at. Bill would be happy to talk to you about that, learn a little bit about it, and even take a look at the product for you and evaluate it on our radio show. So you can reach Billy there to talk to him about the equipment side, and if you have evidence that you'd like to share for this new television show, make sure to contact him on our website through that. Well, Bill, we want to wish you much success with the advent of the new broadcast TV series or TV show that you're working on. I hope that's a big success for you. We're looking forward to seeing that, and I hope that you'll come break the news on our show as soon as you're able to tell everybody when it's going to be on and what network and what the show is about.
You know what, Dave? I will. I'll make Darkness Radio the first venue that the announcements will go out on. Will be out on your show. How's that?
That sounds fantastic, Bill. Thanks a lot. And, hey, everybody, stay tuned. We're going to be back with more, and we've got our brand-new national news correspondent who will be with us, Bree Sanders. Stay tuned. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. As I said, we've got an exciting new addition to our show coming up here in about a second. I do want to mention again, we have got seats available for the advanced screening of Ghost Town. We have 25 passes available for you and a guest to come on out and see the brand new comedy movie starring Ricky Gervais, Greg Kinnear, about paranormal activity and ghosts. We hope that you'll join Tim and I and the lovely Nicole as we go out next Wednesday, the 17th, at the AMC Maple Grove Theater for a special advanced screening. Show up around 6:30. Give us a call. You got to get your name in and on the list with Tim. And now, let's welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of the Town Paranormal Radio Show, Family Fold. It's a lot of words, Tim. Don't stand there and snicker at me.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. We've got our brand new national news correspondent, and Tim and I are excited to bring her aboard. You know, we're sad, as we said, for Bill to be off, but he's got a great new opportunity, so we wish him luck. But Bree is one of, she's one of my best friends, a great gal, very into the paranormal and has been for a long time, and loves all the strange and obscure news. So I've told Bree I want her to go out and become our new national correspondent, bring us all the weird news of the world, everything from the weird news to supernatural and paranormal. And Bree, we set you off with that in mind. Did you come through for us? Do we have a lot of weird stories this week?
I've got a few.
Okay. Well, why don't we start off? What do you got going for us? Some of these weird... Now, Tim, these are good. I heard a couple of these previews, so...
Okay.
Check this out.
Okay. While I was looking through a lot of these articles, I came across this little story that was just kind of... not necessarily real deep into the paranormal, but just an example of some odd behavior, and I just couldn't pass it up.
Okay.
Apparently, this is out of Fresno, California this week. A man broke into the home of two California farm workers, and he robbed them and ransacked the house. But before he left, he rubbed spices on one of the men and smacked the other one with an 8-inch sausage and took off running.
Are you serious?
I've had dates like
I'm
that.
I'm serious.
Well, you know what, Bree? Tim, is this what you were doing the research on?
Yeah, I actually found the arrest audio, and the perpetrator actually explains how the crime took place. Did you want to hear it, Bree?
Sure.
All right, here goes.
All right.
A few years ago when I did this the first time, I had a whole bologna. I literally had this big bologna. I couldn't really get the bologna in there to fit, you know? And the bologna went inside, and it was fantastic. But anyhow, now there's a new bologna law. So if you're a fan like this of this baked bologna like I am, buy two. Here's how you do it. The only thing is now is that to have the right baked bologna takes time. You just can't, like, do a quick bologna. Now, here's the secret, okay? First thing, we get a little butter like this and we brush our bologna. Then,
pardon me?
You take some mustard, and then you're going to just smear mustard all over your bologna. So you got the mustard thing going on with the bologna now, okay? Slowly move your bologna around like this. Like I said, you could do this at home.
This is the arrest
way
audio,
in advance.
Huh?
So once you do that, bam, 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 bam,
oh my.
Bam, 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 bam.
Take it from here, bam, bam.
Oh, good
yeah,
grief.
Who knew?
That is brutal.
And there was an accomplice.
There was an accomplice. Bam Bam was part of this, huh? Emeril Lagasse is beating people with bologna? Oh, my God. That's uncalled for and awkward. All right, Bree, what's our next story?
Well, actually, this one's kind of along the same lines. I remembered hearing Adrian talk about a little while back, more and more women in Europe are turning away from the church because of the show Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, they're turning to Wicca or witchcraft. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I saw this quote, and it just kind of made me think of that. Now, I'll tell you the quote first.
Okay.
And then we'll go into the story. We'll kind of go backwards. The quote is, "I wish I could find a church with the same spirit of support and love as I feel here." Okay, so there's the quote.
Sure.
Now, the story is, This was said by a man in Southern California, and he's part of a group called the August Dog Brothers, and they're kind of a local fight group or fight club. Now, a witness saw these men, and she claims that two of the men were without padding, and they were beating each other with heavy sticks, and two other men fought with electrically charged knives, and the fight with the knives ended when one of the men planted a 1,000-volt surge into the other.
Oh, geez.
And the quotes of the men were, one of the men was quoted as saying, quote, "I've never felt better than when I'm doing this," end quote. And the other man was quoted as saying, "I wish I could find a church with the same spirit of support and love as I feel here." I just thought that was classic. That's about as a lot.
Now, if we could just.
Weirder than anything I've seen in the
world. No doubt. So religion has taken a backseat to beating the hell out of each other with sticks and electrically charged knives.
Basically.
Now, if we could just get Emeril Lagasse to join the fight club with his giant bologna, Tim, and beat on men with electrically charged knives and their bologna, that would be a story and a half right there. That's awkward. All right. What's our next place?
This is just kind of a funny little factoid that I saw that was on the same page, actually. This is News of the Weird reported this recently, and it's insurance companies, especially in Europe, I guess they'll underwrite almost any odd risk anyone's willing to pay for these days. It says that There have been reports of people being insured against alien invasion, the Loch Ness Monster, and three nuns actually insured the expense of Jesus Christ's second coming if he happens to be born to any of them.
So you can insure yourself against being the father or mother of the second coming of Christ? Excellent.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that is...
There's that.
Wow. Now, you, so people could actually insure themselves against Loch Ness Monster at what, attack?
I guess.
Bigfoot attack?
I don't even know how you put a price on that, you know, but...
That's going to be the new MasterCard commercial, right? Camping in the woods, free, you know?
I know.
Tent and baked beans with your son, 99 cents. Being attacked by Bigfoot, but being covered by your insurance policy, priceless.
Right.
Oh, that's awkward. Now, you also had a story about an actor that we all know and love.
I did.
Now, what's this all about?
Well, actually, Stephen Colbert, this was reported this week, that Stephen Colbert, who everybody knows and loves, he hosts the Colbert Report.
Right.
He is going to have his DNA digitized and sent to the International Space Station. It's going to be put into a time capsule they're calling the Immortality Drive.
Okay.
And a famous video game designer named Richard Garriott, he's actually traveling to the station in October, and he will deposit the time capsule. It's going to include human DNA, Stephen Colbert's obviously, and records of humanity's greatest accomplishments with personal messages collected specifically for the project. Garriott is quoted as saying, in the unlikely event that Earth and humanity are destroyed, mankind can be resurrected with Stephen Colbert's DNA.
You maniacs, you blew it up. So you mean we've got to look forward to the fact that in the event the untimely demise of our planet, at least we can be resurrected all as Stephen Colbert?
Right, yes.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's good stories. Exactly. That's right up there with Frozen Walt Disney. Maybe we'll take him out of thaw, too, and we can create our own super race of Stephen Colbert and Walt Disney characters walking around.
Nice.
Good
nice.
God. Now, is this right? I was reading one of these celebrities out there has a haunted house that he's dealing with.
Actually, Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage actually purchased the LaLaurie Mansion in New Orleans last year. Okay. And most people know what that is. If you don't, it's a notorious house. It's supposed to be one of the most haunted houses in the United States. And the LaLauries live there, a prominent family. And Madame LaLaurie was, just did some gruesome, brutal things to her slaves.
Right. Okay, I remember hearing the story. Sure.
And,
Now, is this the one where in the basement they used to torture?
I think it was the attic.
Okay.
What happened, she kind of had this facade of being this real sweet, kind of just, you know, beautiful woman.
Right.
And come to find out, her neighbors actually kind of started hearing noises coming from the house. And at the time, there was a law, you know, that you had to... treat your slaves a certain way. You know, you couldn't abuse them, basically. And her neighbors suspected she was abusing them. So they got taken away from her, and she convinced her relatives to buy them back for her. And so apparently she kept her cook chained to the fireplace in the kitchen. He got so fed up, supposedly he lit the house on fire. And the family fled. They never saw them again. Nobody knew where they went. They just kind of disappeared. But the firefighters, looking through the house after they put out the fire, found this room up, you know, kind of in the attic, and there were over a dozen slaves, completely naked, chained to the walls.
Wow.
Just had terrible things done to them. She, you know, dismembered some of them.
Oh, my God.
Poked some of their eyes out. A lot of things I won't even touch on because they're pretty gory, but...
But so Nick Cage has bought this house now?
Nicolas Cage bought this house. This was a while ago. And the house, you know, in the past, he doesn't really go into any experiences he's had there. But, I mean, people have always kind of reported having experiences of, like, hearing screams.
Sure.
Seeing apparitions walking around. And there's actually some, you know, legends that even vagrants have gone into the house kind of seeking shelter, and they've never been seen or heard from again.
Wow.
But now he bought the house.
God, how come we can't have that happen to Nick Cage? Not a fan.
Give it time. he's saying that his family is too scared to stay in the house. And I guess they'll spend time there, like, eating dinner, stuff like that, but nobody's ever spent the night there.
Really? Interesting.
But yeah, and he says that he will stay there at some point, but I guess his family won't join him in that. And he's saying that a lot of paranormal research groups are obviously asking him for permission
right.
to come in and research the house, but he won't let them. He actually thinks it's disrespectful to the ghosts. And he's quoted saying, if there's something in there, I don't want them being exploited. So
well, that's a good point. At least Nicolas yeah. Cage has got some morals on that. Hey, Bree, we got to take a break here. Stick with us, and everybody out there, keep listening. We're going to come back with more national news. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show here on the home of Paranormal Talk Radio every Saturday and Sunday night from 9 to midnight. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show here on your home for Supernatural and Paranormal Talk every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight. Check us out online. You can check out all of our podcasts. So if you miss any one of our shows or any segment of the show, you can always come back and check it out later in the podcasts. It's a great way to pass the show on. Let your friends, relatives, and family know about the show as well. We're going to go back into our segment with our brand new national news correspondent, Bree Sanders. Bree, now you've got an interesting story, and we're going to bring a special guest on to wrap the story up. You've got a story about the Paulding Light, and that's out of Michigan, right?
It is. It's in a town called Watersmeet, Michigan.
Okay.
Let's see. There was an article published about someone's experience seeing these lights this week, and apparently, if you're unfamiliar with the Paulding Lights, it's a light phenomenon that is seen on a nightly basis in this town, Watersmeet, Michigan. Apparently, nearly every single clear night, you can see these lights. They're just kind of strange circular spheres that appear on the horizon, and according to this person's experience, at least, the lights have actually changed color. They'll change color in front of your eyes and kind of dance around. They've been captured on film by Michigan Magazine and Channel 6 News and Marquette. And even Ripley's, believe it or not, offered over $100,000 to anyone who could solve the mystery of it.
Ooh.
Yeah, so...
Well, you know what? We've got a special guest on the line with us, and the reason I wanted to include him when you told me about this story is one of the things that kind of got him fired up into the paranormal, I believe, was dealing with the Paulding Lights. So please welcome, along with our lovely Bree Sanders, joining the show right now from True TV's Haunting Evidence, premiering this October on True TV. Check your local listings and times for show times in your area. We have Mr. Patrick Burns, a paranormal investigator. Good evening, Patrick.
Good evening, Dave. Thanks there for the very nice plug for the show.
Oh, sure. When do you guys kick back off?
The new episodes will start October 4th. That's a Saturday at 10 o'clock Eastern Pacific on True TV.
All right, great. Now, you just heard the story Bree was talking about, the Paulding Lights. People are still seeing this. Now, if I remember correctly, when we started and we became friends 2 years ago, you were telling me that that was one of the things that kind of started you with your interest in the paranormal. That was one of the first cases you kind of investigated yourself, correct?
Yeah, you know, that I really cite that as, you know, probably one of, if not the pivotal moments when I became a paranormal investigator. I never really went into it with that intent. I had been at a party. I was living in northern Wisconsin at the time, working as a club DJ, and we had an after-bar party at one of my friend's places, and they were telling me about this phenomena called the Paulding Light in northern Michigan, in the upper peninsula of Michigan. And, you know, about how it appears at the end of this gravel road, and it's this pulsating blob of light that changes colors and appears and then disappears and then reappears again. And I heard this, and I'm like already walking out to my truck. I'm like, I got to
right.
see this.
Right.
You know, we've got to get out there and check this thing out, and which we did. And went out there with I actually had a spotting scope, like a nature enthusiasts would use. That we took with us, and you know, sure enough, we saw this phenomenon with our naked eye. It looked even more bizarre with the extra magnification through the telescope. And I'd heard the exact same things that Bree had said, you know, about how supposedly, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers, every three-letter agency of the United States government had been up there to investigate this thing. They allegedly could not figure out what it was. And, yeah, I even heard the bit about Ripley's Believe It or Not having a $100,000 reward to anyone who could determine or ascertain what the source of this phenomena was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I found out was, you know, basically for the next week, this thing haunted me, for lack of a better term, and I went up to get a better closer look at it. And in my investigations, what I found is that everybody has a slightly different story, a slightly different take on it.
Sure.
This is really just a classic case of urban legend. You know, the origins of the light, when it was seen, is still to this day, when it was first seen, is still in dispute. You ask, it seems like everybody has a slightly different story about it, with some resemblances, you know, along the way. But I went out to investigate this thing again. I arrived there at about 3 o'clock in the morning. I was by myself, scared out of my wits. You know, kept looking over my shoulder to make sure that I didn't have any pick up any extra visitors in the back seat of the car.
Right.
And I waited. Didn't have to wait too long until it reappeared. Sure enough, there it was on the horizon, and sat there just completely bewildered, looking through the telescope, trying to figure out what this thing might be. And then I noticed something really interesting started to happen, is that the frequency this thing was starting to appear at started to increase the later into the morning it got. And pretty soon it was getting to be, you know, about 5 o'clock, 5:30 a.m., and I noticed that the ambient light, the dawn, was arriving, and the sky was starting to light up. And the frequency this thing was appearing at and the length of time it was appearing at was starting to increase. I thought, that's very odd, because everything I've heard about this sort of phenomena says it peaks around between midnight and 3 a.m. and then it's supposed to diminish after that. And here the exact opposite is happening. And I hatched an idea at that point that, you know, if I sit here and wait long enough, maybe I'll actually be able to, there will be enough ambient light to actually see where this phenomena is occurring, and I can drive up there and see what's going on in that area. So I continued to monitor the phenomena through my telescope, and after a while, there was enough ambient light that I could tell what was going on. I could actually see that the lights were the headlights and taillights of cars and trucks on a remote stretch of Highway 51, about 5 to 10 miles north of the vantage point of this. And I sat there shaking my head at first, no way, that's too simple of an explanation. But sure enough, you know, the dawn started to break a little bit more, and very clearly you could make out vehicles going up and down this narrow stretch of highway that was just coming through a slit in the woods, a power line easement that was cut through the woods for the power line right of way. And I was completely blown away and heartbroken, because I thought that I'd, you know, witnessed a truly paranormal event, and here it was very, very easy to explain. I also figured out what was causing the light to shift and pulsate and stretch was the fact that there's all this marshland between the vantage point where the highway meets back up,
right,
about 5 miles away. And as everybody knows, as vegetative material decays and it releases methane gas, and methane gas, as it rises up, will distort the air, the light that's passing through it. So, you know, I was heartbroken. And I, interestingly enough, subsequently went some time ago and did some research on the Ripley's Believe It or Not claim, and they actually have it listed on their website, saying not only have they never investigated this phenomena, but they never offered a $100,000 reward for anybody that could solve it, according to their website. So
this is
just a classic case of urban legend, you know, everybody adding their own little spin, own little take on
sure,
a series of events, and it just sort of spirals out of control and takes on a life of its own after that.
All right, Patrick, well, thanks a lot for joining us. Much continued success for you and the cast of Haunting Evidence, which returns again on Saturday, October 4th, you said, on True TV, correct?
Thanks so much, Dave. That's correct, and great talking with you.
Thank you very much.
UniCon.
Good deal. Thank you.
You bet.
All right, Bree, so now we've kind of rounded that story out. We're going to come back. You've got a couple more stories for us, so everybody stay tuned. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. Welcome back to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our national news correspondent, Bree Sanders, with us. If you'd like to give Bree some tips on other news stories that are taking place around the United States, go to our website at darknessradio.com. Click on the news desk. You'll see the picture of Bree there. Underneath her, it says, click here to pass on more information. You can give her information right there, and she can track and trace news stories that we can present on future episodes. Bree, you're doing great. First night. You feel okay now?
Feeling good.
You all settled in? All right. Hit me. You've got, what, three or four more stories for us here? What's the next story?
Okay. The next one is just, there was an article on actually New Hampshire. It's called SeacoastNewHampshire.com 2 days ago, and it's just, it's an interview they did with a man named Michael E. Bell. He's an author and folklorist up in New England, and he just wrote a book actually called Food for the Dead on the Trail of New England Vampires. He studies different situations in history that could be considered by some to fall under the category of vampirism. This is just an example he speaks about that occurred in New England. So apparently back in the day when tuberculosis was around, rampant, some people in New England actually believe, are you there?
I'm with you.
Actually believed that their deceased relatives who passed away from this were draining them of,
Right, draining them of their energy and their blood, right?
Correct. They actually would exhume the bodies and see if there was any, like, fresh blood inside the heart or anything like that. And if there was, the heart, or liquid around the heart even, and the heart would be cut from the body and burned to ashes, which were sometimes administered in water or some medicine to sick family members. And the belief was that there was some sort of evil, perhaps a demon, residing in the dead body that was draining life from the living people in the family, who are in fact just becoming infected with tuberculosis or some other disease.
And wasn't it the bodies, too? I don't know if it's in the story, but I believe that was part of the vampire lore, too, as they dig up these, and they'd find blood by the mouth of these victims, or of the corpse, and they thought that was it. But because they had consumption after they had been buried, the blood kind of leaked out. That had been storing up in their body, and it'd be by the mouth. So that's when they started thinking that they were out draining the blood and passing the disease on.
Right.
All right.
Right. That's it. I mean, but, you know, I found that to be pretty creepy, that thinking about actually believing that vampires were dead relatives who were actually capable of killing you from the grave. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I've had two ex-mother-in-laws that were draining me of my life force, so I honestly believe that that is a possibility.
Okay, well.
Next story is?
I have a really quick one, actually.
Sure.
A man in Tennessee named Harold Jackson discovered what appears to be a fossilized giant footprint on his property, and this has Bigfoot enthusiasts all excited. He claims that the footprint measures 11 inches wide by about 15 inches long, and he says it shows a heel, all five toes, and appears to be thousands of years old. So some people are thinking maybe a Bigfoot fossil, or maybe just a Native American from a long time ago.
Or it could be isn't a Gigantopithecus is the large, but that's millions of years old, not so much thousands. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. But they found this recently?
Recently, this week, he found it. He had this rock. I guess it was on his property somewhere, and he saw it every day, and it just was kind of strange looking. He took it home, washed the mud off and everything, and it shows the footprint. So they're looking into it, I guess.
Very cool.
Yeah. And another story that was published this week in the UFO Digest. This is an old story, but I thought it was really interesting. It's about a Navy ship called the USS Truxton, and this ship was actually the first nuclear-powered surface ship built in 1967.
Okay.
This was stationed off of the coast of North Vietnam during the Vietnam War for radar purposes. The ship had two types of radar. One was a surface radar that watched for contacts about 30 miles out, and the other was an air search radar that watched for aircraft. I guess one night, the story is, everybody was positioned to respond, obviously, in the middle of the night to any air surface or subsurface attack, and they were kind of on blackout, which just hid them from enemies. But during the night, it says, before 1 a.m., the operator of the surface radar reported that he had a contact that was about 10 miles away and was heading for the ship. Seconds later, the air radar also confirmed the contact, but it said that the contact was airborne. They were reporting different speeds, and it actually disappeared off the surface radar. But on the surface radar, before it disappeared, it said it was going about 20 knots, which is consistent with a torpedo boat, which the North Vietnamese were known to have.
Okay.
And then it disappeared. The contact continued. The air search radar reported that the contact was continuing to close in on their position. They were ready to fire. The men were on the lookout. And according to the radar, the contact passed right through the hull of the ship.
Really?
Continued right out the other side, maintaining the same course and speed until it simply vanished.
Wow.
No one saw anything. Yeah, and that's just kind of weird. I'm sure a lot of things, strange little things happen like that that aren't ever reported, so I just thought it was pretty interesting.
Well, you've got this last story, and actually, before we get into it, I'd like to preface it with a little news clip that, you know, this has been a guy I've been trying to get on the show for 3 years here, and this was an interesting story about what he predicts is coming up. But, Tim, why don't we go back? This is about 2 years old. This is a news story, and just totally fascinated me. It's actually from Channel 13. I think it's the NBC News affiliate in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Timmy. Hit it up.
He's the Las Vegas man who claims he can summon UFOs on command. Pretty wild. So we sent Action News reporter Mike Dell'Estrito to get the real story. But what he found shocked everyone and could leave you wondering, are UFOs real?
Let's take another trip back into the realm of paranormal tonight. Last night we had ghost hunters, now UFOs.
That's right, and there is a Las Vegas guy making an extraordinary claim about extraterrestrials. So we sent Action News reporter Mike Dell'Estrito to check it out. Mike?
All right, guys, just listen up here. This guy says the Old Testament, written in Hebrew, taught him how to summon UFOs. All right, he says he can also do this on command, and he adds he's been doing it for 25 years, keeping all of it secret until now.
These beings are here. They are here. They're just sitting right up there.
We met up with Prophet Yahweh, seer of Yahweh, at Doolittle Park off Lake Mead. We picked the day, we picked the time, and we picked the location.
Everyone's going to think you're absolutely nuts.
Well, I thought I was absolutely nuts.
Until he says he saw UFOs. Over the years, 1,500 of them.
Can we make it 1,501 today? What do you think?
I'll try it.
He says the voice in his head told him to go public now. So we took him up on his offer, and we scanned the skies. Nothing but a few clouds. When the prophet started praying for a sighting, I wasn't exactly convinced.
I pray, O Yahweh, that you send a sighting so that they know that I am not mentally ill. I am not a false prophet like those who seek to kill me say I am.
I see something straight up.
Oh, brother, look here. There it is.
You can barely see it, a white speck. Then another sighting.
There it is. I got it.
Photojournalist Jonathan Hawkins locks in on it. Let's take a closer look here. It's an orange sphere that appeared out of nowhere. I call the boss with an unexpected change in my story.
I can see it clear as day. In fact, it's bright.
I can't believe this.
It's moving pretty fast.
It's going to Nellis Air Force Base. It wants to be seen.
We called Nellis to see what these things might be. Guess what? They didn't call us back. But this thing started coming back toward us.
Yeah. It's coming toward us now, I think.
What?
See, it's coming up toward us.
Whoa, man! Oh, hallelujah!
Then, a few seconds later, it disappeared.
It's going back up in space.
Prophet Yahweh isn't concerned. He says it'll be back.
And I'm still not quite sure what those things were. Now, if I didn't see this for myself, I probably would have just laughed this whole thing off. Prophet Yahweh says, though, this is just the beginning. He says we're going to see a lot more of these things starting next week. And he says one will come down low enough for all of Las Vegas to see. Mike Dell'Estrito, Channel 13 Action News.
So now, Bree, you've got an update to the story. We have about a minute left. What's Prophet Yahweh doing now?
All right. Supposedly from September 11th until November 11th, 2008, he will be summoning UFOs for the world to see. You can see them via UFO TV news broadcast channel. Shortly after the sightings start appearing, a spaceship will descend upon Las Vegas and sit there for 3 days. Apparently, superhuman black men, quote, from other planets are here in spaceships to prove that we are not alone in the universe. So, he also claims that he's been instructed to build temples to Yahweh with landing spots next to them in Brazil and the desert of America. So, yeah, it goes into all of his beliefs, but...
Yeah, no, we'll have a video of that up on the news site to see, because it's an older video, but I mean, it's amazing. And in the Channel 13 news guy, what I love about it is they picked the time, they picked the place, they picked the date without telling this guy where they were taking him, and he was still able to summon one down out of the sky, and they catch it all on video. So
yeah.
It's going to be something to keep an eye out.
Definitely.
You said that starts on September 11th and goes through November 11th?
Correct.
All right. Well, Bree, right. Thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure having you here for your first show with us on Darkness Radio. We'll look forward to talking to you again next Sunday night with a whole new brand of different stories coming at us, right?
Definitely.
All right. Thank you
Thanks,
very much,
guys.
Bree.
All right.
And thank you all for tuning in. Remember to stay tuned after the top of the hour. We're going to be back with our guest, Linda McKenzie, talking about psychic phenomena. Also, remember to join Tim and I. We have tickets available for the advanced screening of the movie Ghost Town. You can check it out next Wednesday, the 17th at 7 p.m. at the AMC Maple Grove Theater. Call in right now to Tim. We'll get your name on the waiting list. We have 25 passes. Good for you and a guest to come on out and join us at the movie. We'll be back with more.
Gas, groceries, eating out, it all adds up fast. With the Verizon Visa card, you get rewarded every time you spend. Get 4% in rewards on gas, dining, and at grocery stores. And you can put those rewards toward your Verizon bill or on new tech like a smartwatch and earbuds. Apply today at Verizon. Application required, subject to credit approval. Must be a Verizon mobile account owner or manager or Fios account owner. See Verizon.com/Verizon Visa card for terms and restrictions. The Verizon Visa signature card is issued by Synchrony Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
We know no one's journey is the same. That's why Delta SkyMiles moves with you. From earning miles on reloads for coffee runs, shopping, and things you do every day, to connecting you to new experiences. A SkyMiles membership fits into your lifestyle, letting you do more of what makes you, you. It's more than travel. It's the membership that flies, dines, streams, rides, and arrives with you. Because when you have a membership that's as unique as you are, there's no telling where your journey will take you next. Learn more at delta.com/SkyMiles.